accession number 20940, reel 2.
Scotty Scott, reel 2. So what do they say in the army?
Well, you used to get these people, they come in, like others, and they put in for a Wasby. It's the quickest way to get three tapes in them days. You went in for a Wasby, it's a War Office Selection Board. They sent you, if you were successful, to an OCTU unit, Officer Cadet Training Unit, or an Officer Training Unit. If you failed, you didn't come back as a private soldier, most of them come back as sergeants. They were still bloody useless, but some of them got through. And you soon find out, because you get a 19-year-old walking down on a parade, he's just taken over the platoon as a platoon officer, he walked down, I ain't going to expect them in. And you've got a sergeant, a platoon sergeant standing there, that probably got 15, 10, 12, or so many years active service in a regular army in. And the sergeant be telling the officer what to do. The officer, depending on the sergeant, the bloody will train him and give him his finishing school, if you know. And the officer say, well, we're going to do that today. And the sergeant say, no, sir. Today we're going to do so and so. Oh, carry on. You know, that was it. That's it. I was, where the hell they got, well, I don't know, because they could speak a la car and I went to so and so school, they think they've been, you know, and these are people who've got men's lives in their hands. Because you've got to look at it, per ratio, casualties were higher amongst the officers than amongst the blokes. I mean, they was, well, how do you explain it? Some of the poor souls just got there and they got knocked off. I don't want to name any family, but I'll name you one, Watney. 14th Platoon, C Company, 4th Battalion, Royal West Kent Regiment. Our officer, Watney. You know who Watney are, don't you?
The brewery.
That's right. And I'm going to show you this, mate, upstairs. I'll get it in a book. Alan Malfar. Watney's down with the boys, isn't he? The platoon's pinned down. Do you know what pinned down means?
Under fire.
You can't bloody move, mate. You're just laying there groaning and moaning and swearing. Right? He suddenly gets the idea he wants to change position. Come on, there's with me. Up he gets to run forward. Bang, he went. Nobody else moved. And what was his idea? If some of the other blokes had got up to go with him, they'd have all been flat on their backs. You know? It's not... Well...
So, coming back to East Suffolk, when you were doing these airfield guards, what happened to you next after you were doing these exercises?
Well, I left the Suffolk, and I left them under a cloud. Although I was happy, because what happened, I was on the at the back of the river, at the back of the airfield is the River Orwell, right? And the front of the aerodrome was on the Nacton Road. The other side of the road was a big factory making tank radiators and parts for tanks, right? And the whole bloody lot got bombed. We took over the aerodrome from a company, the Essex Regiment. So it was a right shambles. Anyway, that's why they put each platoon out in its own area. And we was on the top area, which a little side road, had a pub called the Golden Fleece on the corner. But that gate at night is shut. The other gate on the other side was shut at night with a picket on it. A picket, like a short guard. The main gate, of course, got a guard on it all the time. The side gate, and there was a shortcut that way for the officer's mess. Well, that gate shut. The bloody gate, like a prisoner of war camp, you know. Anyway, on the sentry, foggy, horrible night, you know. And I'm standing there. Usual thing in 1941, rifle, bayonet, no ammunition, no ammo. If you wanted ammunition, it was in a safe. If you wanted to get it out, mate, if the German Paris started landing on the airfield, we had to go and get the orderly officer. You had to get the keys, come down, open a wall safe, take the keys out, and open the safe where the ammunition was, and they start distributing the ammunition. Right? Like a bloody Zulu war. You'd have been dead, mate, before you got there. Anyway, I'm standing at the gate, cheese all. I hear footsteps. Oh, someone coming. Quite an event. I see a form. Oh, God. Oh, who goes there? Clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop. It keeps coming. Halt! Who goes there? Second challenge. Clip, clop, clip, clop. It keeps coming. So I work the bolt. As if I'm loading. Halt, also fire. Well, by the time I said all this, mate, the figure is standing the other side of the gate at the end of my bayonet. And who is it? It's Mrs. Bennett, the OC's wife. And I said, madam, I said, do you know, if I could have shot you. You're supposed to answer, stop, answer, when you're challenged and all that. I'm Captain Bennett's wife. I want to go to the officer's mess. I said, this gate is shut at night, you're not supposed to come through here. She said, it's a shortcut, I can't be bothered going around the front, all that. So I let her through. As she's gone through, I said, give my love to the captain, being a saucy little sod. And she went. Well, within 3 minutes or so, the old officer was down here. Turn out the guard, turn out the guard, turn out the guard. Yeah. Who's the chap who's being saucy to the company commander's wife and all this lot? Now, tell me, I want to know if you'll all be punished and all that crap, you know. I said, don't worry, it's me. Yeah. Right, you'll be out of the office in the morning in front of the captain. Fair enough. So the morning after, I'm going out of the office. Sergeant Major's there. First World War Sergeant Major. Good bloke. He looks at me, he says, what have you been doing? I told him. Now, when you want to charge, you take your belt off and your hat off and your mask, you're an escort. I wasn't. I went in, the sergeant major shut the door, and there's the captain behind his desk, and there's me standing there. And he went all something rotten. He had a right go at me about the night before. And he finished up with the famous words, what he should never have said. He said, you're insolent, and all this lot, you know, and then he said, if I had my way, I'd take my jacket off and give you a good thrashing. Here, mate, I'll come and talk to them. I said, go on, enjoy it. I said, I'll show you what a Latin Tottenham can do. Next thing, he's screaming and playing, so Major, get him out of here, get him out of here, so Major. And the old type Major come in, right to the quick boy, boom, 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 out the door, slam the door, got out. He said, what the bloody hell did you, all that. And I told him. He said, God, he said, you know. Anyway, I went back to my block, nishing up in the corner, the platoon area. And I shut my bed and I thought, sod this crowd, you know. And I got out a sheet of writing paper and I wrote out a request for transfer back to the West Kent Regiment. I'll tell you what, it wasn't in the office half an hour. It was a railway warrant, the rest of the day's rations and everything. Pack your bags and get. I went from Mute 6 down to Dill. And in the evening, I was in a 4th Battalion of the West Kent Regiment. I thought, that's the best thing I've ever done in my life. Get back to the West Kent. Oh, amazing. I mean, if anybody should pick this thing up and read it and listen to it in the future, they go, is that possible? Well, I'm telling you, mate, it's possible. And it happened. And I've even got it written down here for the bloody National Army Museum.
What date was this?
Oh, this was towards the end of 41. Towards the end of 41. And, I went down to Deal. They put me again in 14th Platoon, C Company. I was always going to finish up in 14th Platoon of C Company. And, you still writing? Okay. This is the front line, although it's a TA mob, 4th Battalion is a TA mob. It's a front line mob. They'd come back through France, Dunkirk, etc. And they had a good go at Jerry in during the retreat to Dunkirk. And, anyway, I get down there, interview, company office. You've got to see the old man, like, you know, see the company commander. And I was struck dumb. I walked in there. He said, well, welcome to the company. Are you a sportsman, sir? Are you a sportsman? He said, do you play soccer? I said, play football. Oh. "Do you box?" Well, I said, "I've boxed a bit with the Suffolks." "Oh, good, good, good," he says. "Football trial tomorrow." "Football trial tomorrow?" He said, "We've got a platoon game tomorrow," he said. "You can play and we'll, you know, anyway." And I did. And I found myself in the company team.
What position did you play?
Left back. Right. I played left back. We have a match in a company football tournament. Next thing I know, "Come over here, Scott. Sir, you're not a bad little footballer. Would you like to try with a battalion team?" "Yeah, I'll play in it." And we did. And that was it. And I found myself in a battalion team. Now, if you're a sportsman, right, you went into the battle platoon, as they called it. The battle platoon was like a little group of commando soldiers within the battalion, the battle patrol, not a battle platoon, the battle patrol. Used to wear cat companies and blacken your face and copy what the big boys were doing, like, you know. This was in 1942, early 42. And, like a deal, the thing used to make me laugh was you ran from deal, a school, it was in a school on the north side of the town, going up the coast, and we used to run from the school in our brown plimsolls, army issue plimsolls, I mean, you must have seen them, in our denim trousers, right, cap comforter, our towel and soap wrapped up in a pack, wear that, and we used to run to Betsanger Colliery and have showers. We used to get in there, strip off, put all our stuff on the hooks and send it up in the sky like the miners, have a shower, etc., get nicely cleaned up, then get dressed, then run all the way back to Bleak and Dill. And it used to get back to Dill dirtier than you went to Betsanger. I was thinking to myself sometimes, what's the sense in all this? You know, but there's only one answer to that, mate, British Army, you know, anyway. But it was good. We got on well down there, and I did enjoy it with the 40. Some good boys, you know, a lot of them London boys, Kent boys, all that. So it was a good crowd. Then I got home on leave. And when I was home on leave, later on, in early 40, so I got a telegram, "Don't return to Deal. Units moved to Autumn, outside Maidstone." Well, I come back into the camp at Autumn in the dark, and it'd been raining all day. And the thing was this, I got to the guard room, I report in, and I said, "Where's C Company?" "Over there. General direction over there." "Oh, should I just go straight across the field, you'll be all right." "Okay." Straight across the field I went. Been raining all day, ain't it? They didn't tell me, across the fields there was irrigation ditches. I went in every sodding one. And by the time we got to C Company area, I was just one sodden mass of, you know, and in them days you took everything home with you. All your kit, rifle, kit bag, everything. I was in a right state. I went in the first Nishina, "Is this 14th platoon?" "Nah." Next Nishina, "Is this 14th? "Nah." You know, typical, anyway, I've got the last Nishina, "Is this 14th platoon?" And I walked in, and they all looked at me and started laughing. I stood there, I'm like a drowned rat, and I, you know. And the corporal, he said, "Well," he said, "you better get yourself cleaned up for the morning." And that was my start back with the 4th West Kent Club when I'd been on leave. But the thing was this, shortly afterwards we moved to near Epsom, a place, what's it called? I forget the name of the place. It's on the same railway line as Epsom from Purley and that. Anyway, it'll come back in a minute.
Croydon?
No. It's outside Croydon. Anyway, we're stationed there, and the nearest town for any recreation was Sutton. We're stationed there, we start training up, doing battle training, all this lot. And the next thing we know, we're going overseas. We were bound to the Middle East. Paint your brasses. Don't blank over your kit anymore. Paint your brasses so they don't glow. Get issued extra G1098 stores, you know. All this lot, you're going into action, that's what you get. And we're getting new NCOs coming, especially one, I'll never forget him, Proston his name was, big corporal. But you knew the minute he walks in the room, he's an experienced soldier, you know what I mean? He had that air about him, he knew, no nonsense, just come in, you know. And that was that. it's from him that I learned to fight. Because he said to us one day, are any of you willing to die for your country? You know, he says, are you willing to die for your country? And one of the blokes said, suppose so, Corp, you know. He said, bloody idiot. Keep alive for your country. Let the other sod die, you know. So I thought, that's good. Yeah, that makes sense. That's good. You know. Anyway, then when it came, we got our leave, embarkation leave and all that. Somebody managed, the last, before going on embarkation leave, they gave us a PT session. Out the back, the big green, where we had a photo taken. We went down there for a PT session before going on leave. Now, I've left my battle dress blouse. In my battle dress blouse, I left my pay book with my ration book in it, my railway warrant, my money, everything. Right? And when I come back over to the PT session, someone had nicked it. The whole bloody lot had gone. So I thought, that's a mate. That's a good mate, ain't it? Well, I'll say this now, mate. I hope whoever it was, if he's still alive, he enjoyed himself with it. And I hope he paid for it afterwards, because that you don't do. Anyway, I had to go down to the company office, and I see him down there. They provided me again with it, you know, they renewed it. And I went on leave. When I come back, all the orders come through about moving out. Joe Sobey was put on a rear guard, which means you stay behind and all the stores that are not been used go back to Ordnance Depot. So we was rolling up blankets in bundles of 10, all the boots, all that, and sent it all back to brigade headquarters. Then the different battalion mobs, rear guards, had concentrated at brigade headquarters and all that stuff, then go back to Ordnance Depot. And this is what we were doing. And when that was done, I won't tell you what happened during that spell, because it's a bit naughty.
Why not?
Well, I took a lorry load of blankets back to Aldershot one day, and we had to go along the old back, that way through Guildford. And the driver says to me, he says, I don't live far off here from here. He says, couldn't nip over a cup of tea? I said, you've got your route, keep to it. Yeah. Anyway, we goes on a bit further, he says, wouldn't take a minute. Nick went with a quick cup of tea up to see the missus. And so I thought, oh yeah, I'll get the cup of tea, you have a short session with the missus. Anyway, in the end, I said, go on in. We goes on. We get a cup of tea and a lump of cake and all. So, he's gone somewhere. Anyway, his old man's sitting there. So he says, what you got in the lorry like? Oh, I said, I'll be taking a load of blankets back to Ordnance Depot, bundles of 10 and all that. Cool, he said, blankets. He said, are they the same we used to have in 1418? I said, I suppose so, you know, and all that. He said, you know what? He says, they're worth 10 bob each, them blankets. I said, are they? Yeah, he says, can't get blankets now, you know, and all that, you know, with the clothing ration and all this. I said, can't you? No, he says, 10 bob each, them blankets. He said, they're worth, I said, oh yeah, I knew he was getting it. Anyway, it's a funny thing, when I got to Aldershot, I found that one of the rolls of blankets had fed off the lorry. Funny thing that, coincidence. But also, my wealth mounted by £5. Anyway, that's beside the point, you know, naughty boy, like I said. I suppose I was the only one. But there's an affy manager down here at the base. And he said to me, have you got any wellies? Because we had a load of Wellington boots as well. They was all going back to bloody depot. And I said, yeah, I've got welly boots, of course I have. So he says, I could do with a pair of wellies. I said, could ya? Yeah, he says. I said, well, my family could do with some chocolate. Right? That was the name of the game in them days. I mean, anything you could take home or leave, because rationing and all that lot, you took it. That was it. And a British soldier don't loot. He don't steal. He scrounges, you know. Anyway, when the next time we went over the weekend, without a pass, that's what I took on. Boxes of chocolates, you know, Cadbury's bars and all that. Anyway, then we had to go from there to the depot at Mason, the regimental depot, rear guard, to go follow up the battalion. Unfortunately, when I went home the last time, got off the train at London Bridge, fell foul of the MPs. Come here, soldier, where's your pass and all that? I hadn't got one, had I? I made a run for it. I got away with it. I got home, coming back. I dodged them again coming back, but I got picked up. I dodged them and walked straight into some others. So they took me down to, Whitehall, Scotland Yard, the New Scotland Yard, is it? Stuck me in the nick down there. And they phoned the unit, and this sergeant come up with two blokes and got me out of there to take me back. Kingswood it was, we were at Kingswood, and we went, Kingswood. And he's come up, and they've marched me out of New Scotland Yard, rifles, fixed bayonets, and I'm handcuffed to the sergeant. I felt like a bleeding criminal. I went, all I've done is gone out with a weekend, like. And there's thousands of service from every weekend going home without passes, you know, scrounging, you know. Anyway, he walks me out to Trafalgar Square, gets round the corner, takes the handcuffs off. He says to his bloke, take them bayonets off. He said, come on, we're going down the underground. And he took us to Swiss Cottage, to his mother's place. Nice. And he told her what he was on, right? And she's looking at me once and she's saying, naughty boy. You know, oh, why could he do these things, all that lot? And I think to myself, what a fussy old girl she is, like, you know. Anyway, she supplied us with iced coffee. I never drank iced coffee before in my life. And lumps of chocolate cake. I thought, where'd she get this from? Well, I didn't mind, you know, but, I mean, there she was. And she fed us up, spent a couple of hours here. Then we come down to Charing Cross Station, get a train back. And the train's full up, isn't it? You can't get on it. So the sergeant says, put your bayonets on to the escort. Stand there. He goes down the RTO's office. He comes back with the Royal Engineers office, who's RTO, movement control bloke now. He said, here I am. He said, I've got a prisoner and escort. He says, and I've got to have a place to myself. He said, this bloke's dangerous. He's been, you know, all this, he did not build me up well. You know, and right, this bloke said, right, okay. He's opened the, because all the trains were compartments, it wasn't all corridors, I don't know if you know that. He's opened the door, he said to all the geezers, get out. Out, he says, all everybody out. All moaning and groaning, all got off. We got on, there's the two escorts, a sergeant and me. And and this officer got us in, he shut the door, locked us in. He said, I'll warn them when you arrive to come and unlock the door. Well, there's one bloke that end, one bloke this end, the sergeant that end and me this end. All the comfort in the world, like, of course, fuck a bomber to ourselves. When we got to the other end, like, just unlocked the door and we walked out. And I went up in front of the officer and he says, oh, I don't know what to do with you. He says, really, he says, you belong to, you know, all that, like. He said, but, you know, he said, take an admonition, you know. So he ticked me off, but that was it. But then, what happened really half destroyed me as a soldier, because I thought, I'm a West Kent man. My old man was a West Kent man. My uncles were West Kent men. You know, and they formed a draft to go and reinforce the 2nd, 7th Queens, the Mutton Lancers, 2nd afoot, call them what you like. And they put me on it. I'm moaning and groaning like, I'm not going to wear that bloody badge. Anyway, I had to go and report to a place called Chad Acre Hall, near Hurtown, south of Berwick and Edmonds, and got in with this mob, 2 7th Queens. And it's another TA mob, by the way, 2nd 7th Queens. And I didn't like it at all. I run foul of them straight away, because there's a bloke there named Frosty, who's always having fisticuffs. I couldn't look at him. Anyway, my platoon sergeant, Granny Barnard, he took a dislike to me. I seem to get more cookhouse fatigues, coal house fatigues, guards, pickets, more than anybody. And I'm not saying that because, you know, that was the truth. And that was that. We went one day to Liverpool and got on a boat, the SS Johan van Oldenbarneveldt, big Dutch boat, and that took us out round the Cape, up the Indian Ocean to Bombay. We spent a short time in Bombay in a transit camp. And I'll show you how pompous some officers are. The bloke in charge of the transit camp, a colonel, and I think he was in the Duke of Wellington's regiment, because he wore red hose tops and all that. And the whole bloody battalion was on parade for him. And he gave us a talk. And while he was giving us this talk, there's an airplane buzzing about over the top. And every time he seemed to get into some part of his speech, this airplane, you know. And in the end, he stopped, didn't he? He said, "Has anybody got an anti-tank rifle? Shoot that pocket airplane down, you know." And yeah, and everybody went, "Oh, what, you know." Anyway, we left Bombay, up the Persian Gulf, to Iraq. And we finished up at a dirty little place called Kirkuk, up in the north. And here was the first time I fired a brain gun in anger, because we got raided by night by the Kurds from a local village. But they've been doing this in the area for some time. And
this is with the 2nd and 7th Queen's?
2nd and 7th Queen's, yeah.
Can you describe what happened when the Kurds
raided? Yeah, I was just going to do that. They'd been doing this for some time, you know, from different mobs, because the road from Kirkuk to Mosul, the whole 56 London Div was along that road. And the Kurds, the local tribes, you know, used to come down and raid it, you know, wherever they wanted. Anyway, we found out that they were all coming from, well, we didn't find out, the intelligence officers, I suppose, found out, but I mean, they said they were all coming from one certain village. So C Company was the duty company for that period. So we've got to go out, battle order, ammunition, all kitted up, you know, out to this village. Well, they cordoned it, you know, troops all round it. And I was up on a slight rise, and I could see the entrance to this village, and to the right of the entrance was this mud adobe house built, you know, it was sun-baked mud. The roof, though, seemed to be red slates. See? So got down in position, and the platoon sergeant, old Granny Barnard, he says, "Load. Right, mag on, gun ready, stoke the catcher periodicals." He said, "If you get the order to fire, see that roof? Yep, hit it." That was me target, that red roof. Anyway, the troops had gone in. There's a bit of humdrum, bang, wallop and crash, you know, and all of a sudden a voice behind me said, "Fire, Brent, fire, stoke the catcher, brum." Now, with a Bren gun, you've got 28 rounds in a mag, supposed to have five rounds in bursts. Bullshit. If you're going to hit somebody, hit them. That was my bleeding. I just let it have 28 rounds, mate. Woof, gone. And I was surprised, because the whole bloody roof seemed to disintegrate. I thought, Jesus, you know, it went to bits and pieces all over. And stopped. Well, I had to stop, because the working parts on the Bren stayed to the rear when the mag's empty, you know. They get a chance to reload. Stop. Safety catch a prize. That was that. And they come out. They went in there. I think they took three-ton lorries in there, empty, and come out with them full up. They had everything in there. They had weapons, blankets, but you name it, it was there. And they found it. And it didn't only belong to us, though. It belonged to other mobs as well. You know, they've been raiding different people every night. And that was that. Anyway, this is where I had a bit more hard luck. Shortly after, Christmas 43, wasn't it? Christmas 42, 43. And we'd done an exercise out in the desert, and one of our blokes had found the platoon officer's methylated spirits for his stove, and this bloke was a jock, and he decided to have a drink. Well, he killed himself with it. Then we got back into the camp for Christmas. We had about God knows how many chickens to wring their necks and, you know, all that. We had a small arms competition, and I won it. I was pretty good at small arms. Anyway, I won it. I had to go and see the colonel for my prize. You know what it was? One of them blue envelopes for airmail to write home. That's all it was. I thought I was going to get something good, and all the little envelope. And anyway, Colonel Bowles, B-O-L-S.